kids are gone, so I don't have to make that announcement, dude. Hey, good morning. You know, we can close up shop and go home. Dwayne kind of hit it on the head this morning. But I'm gonna talk for a minute anyway. Thanksgiving. It's more about our attitude than anything. You know, sure, for me, yeah, I love getting together with family. Some people I don't see maybe 2-3 times a year. It was really cool. We went to Chris's brother's house down in Knox/Licking County down there somewhere. And just about every aunt and uncle was there. So that was really cool. We came back to my mom's then, and it was just mom and dad and my sister, and her in-laws had already left. And my brother was there briefly, but they had a supper at his in-laws. So we got to do some cool stuff. My mom, bless her heart, nobody can cook. You know, my girls, Grandma, what do you want us to bring? Oh, bring a salad or something. I'm doing all the hot food. Well, then Tuesday and Wednesday before, you go over and their house is like 150 degrees. And Mom is like to where she can't hardly move because I'm like, Mom, let somebody else do it. No, I love cooking for Thanksgiving. I said, you really sound like it. But it was fine. You know, Dad, of course, did his normal and didn't wait for me to get off work on Tuesday to set up the tables in his garage. Drug him down. He didn't get hurt or anything, thank goodness. But, I mean, it's a lot of work, right? It's a lot of work. But it was so cool because once everybody was there, Kara, my sister, and Morgan actually did all the dishes. And we got a two-table euchre tournament going. And my family's not game players. But Mom wanted to play euchre, and I thought, this is going to be good, right? So, okay, we choose teams, and I thought the deck was stacked against me personally. It was Chris and Mom. It may have been stacked against Chris. Lindsay, Skyler, Nate played with my dad, which that was the team for me, right? That was the team that should have been the team, the dream team. Me and my 13-year-old niece, who's like, yeah, I think I know how to play. I'm like, oh, great. 3-0, the underdogs, right? And boy, people were mad. Mainly because I run my mouth the whole time. I think we don't play such good euchre as I just talk a lot of junk and get everybody else off the game. But it was fun. It was good. The kids all had a good time. So I was blessed to enjoy family time. We'll take a couple days before. I got a text message from a young man Tuesday. Skyler, you're part of the family now, so you're fair game, bud. And he says, at some time you and I need to talk. Well, I said, okay, this is interesting. And they came over Wednesday night. We decorated cookies, which that's a whole nother conversation. I've got a lot of instructing to do on icing sugar cookies. My kids failed. The two boys are probably the best I got, and that's bad. So Skylar and I go, I say, okay. So I send a text message out, hey, Lindsay, does Skylar have a welder, a portable welder? Yeah, he welds. And I said, well, I need him to look at something at school for me. So, because, you know, I work for Coca-Cola, so we have drinks. Skylar said, we can go get drinks or something and talk Wednesday night. I said, okay, well, that's not going to work. I have a whole garage full of drinks. So we go to the school, and the long story short is, I've been praying for this dude for 23 years. 23 years. And he said something to me that night that struck me that only God brought him to us. He said, when I get married, it's for eternity. When I make a commitment, it's for eternity. And I was like, hallelujah, praise God. So Lindsay and Skylar are now engaged to be married. That happened Friday while picking out Christmas trees, and it worked out well. Skylar, welcome to the family. Thanksgiving, title of the message, Thanksgiving 2022, a look at the first Thanksgiving. And no, I'm not talking about the Pilgrims and the Indians. Okay? I contend the first Thanksgiving happens shortly before Jesus' death. And we're going to go there. You can choose any of the passages you want. I use Matthew, Mark, and Luke. I think for what I want, we're going to go with Luke. And I'll probably refer to all of them. But it's Luke chapter 22. And it's 1 through 38. It's a lot. We'll get there. Verse 1. Now the festival of unleavened bread called the Passover. Okay, I'm going to stop right there. I think it's interesting that Jesus chooses this day to have the Last Supper with his disciples. Now, Jesus did all the pre-planning for this, okay? It was part of God's plan. The Passover, we all know that was a time previous. The Passover happened because when the Israelites were in Egypt and they were enslaved, there was a series of plagues, and one of them was death of the firstborn. But God gave the Israelites the way out of it. Angels came and told them, paint blood on your door frames and your house will be protected. So that is the Passover. The death passed over God's chosen people. Okay? Jesus sent Peter and John saying, go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover. Where do you want us to prepare for it? They ask. Okay, this is a key verse here, verse 10. He replied, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher asks, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Now, why is that so important? Because the plan had already been laid. Guys, this is, you know, like my mom had already done all the preparation so that Thursday we can sit down and eat. Right? Jesus already had all the plans made, and God laid that plan to him, and he knew exactly where he needed to be. It says, as you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water. And we think, well, that's no big deal. They had to carry water. Here's the big deal about that. That wasn't the man's responsibility to carry the water. He was probably the only dude there carrying a water pot. Do you think your problems are bigger than our God? Guys, he laid this plan out in advance so that everybody knew. There was no question who they were going to ask because there was one guy carrying a water pot. God's plan is perfect. He will show you to a large room upstairs, all furnished. Make preparations there. And then I have my Bible has a word study, and it focuses on verse 22:11. It says guest room. And the Greek the Greek word, and I'll butcher this, but catalyma. Catalyma. This is the same Greek word Luke used when he said Mary and Joseph could find no guest room. This gives the book of Luke a kind of literary frame. Jesus had finally found a guest room where he could celebrate his final meal before death. Did you ever just think about that? Jesus was celebrating his final meal. He knew it was his final meal. He knew it was the last time he was going to have his 12 disciples in a room and they could be together and just love each other. That's pretty cool. Let's go on. Verse 13. They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his apostles reclined at the table. And he said to them, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God. Now Jesus is, and I can just see this, I mean, I'm not super visual as far as I have to see something before I understand what it's supposed to do. But I can see this, sitting in the upper room. And Jesus just kind of lays back and says, hey boys, I love eating with you, but this is the last time we're going to be together. The next time I eat with you, it will be in the kingdom of God. There are people that didn't understand that. There were people that did not understand that. I contend there were people in that room that did not understand what Jesus was saying right there. Let's go on. After taking the cup. Nope, you know what? I want to move. Sorry. Mark, let's go to Mark. Because each one of these has a little bit different wording that I want to make sure we emphasize here. It's Mark 14. And I love the way this one, put. Starting in verse 17. When the evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, he said, truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me. Now, can you imagine the shock in these guys' faces when Jesus says this? You know, at my house, it's, hey, did you do it? No, I didn't do it, Dad. No, I didn't do it, Dad. Chris says, no, I didn't do it. I say, I didn't do it. Who did it? That's what the disciples did. It's not me, Lord. I'm not going to betray you. It's not me. Let's read on. They were saddened, and one by one they said to him, surely you do not mean me. It is one of the 12, he replied, one who dips the bread into the bowl with me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better for him if he had not been born. Okay? So, man. Remember, these are the 12 guys that have just spent 3 years going everywhere with Jesus. I mean, he come and said, follow me. They did. They threw their nets down. They threw their tax money down. They did whatever. They each left their profession and followed this guy. No questions asked. And now one of these guys that he loved and he shared his love for found out they're betraying him. Guys, I'm so thankful I was not one of the 12. I betray him every single day. I am the reason he hung on that cross so that I could be pure. And I don't deserve that. It's like Dwayne said, our salvation, we don't deserve it. We can't earn it. You know, you don't write a bigger check. You don't give more gifts. You don't do more good deeds. We cannot earn our salvation. Our salvation is a gift. It's not a bargaining chip. It's not a whatever. It's a gift. It's given. You know, when we give a gift, all we want is people to take it, right? If I give Matt a gift and he doesn't take it, I'm going to be offended. Guys, that's what we do to Jesus. When we don't choose to take his gift that he freely gave us. Let's read on. I have to find my place again. Okay. So my other point to that was, so now, all of a sudden, the disciples are hungry, right? Well, I'm not going to be the one to dip my hand in there with him. I'm just not going to eat. Just not going to eat. Wrong. While they were eating, Jesus took bread. And when he broke it, he gave it to his disciples, saying, take it, this is my body. Okay, we're going to shift gears again. We're going to Matthew. Because I think it's important we hear this. So Jesus had said, the one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man will go just as it is written about him. But woe to the man who betrays the Son of Man. It would be better if he had not been born. Then Judas, the one who would betray him, said, surely you don't mean me, Rabbi. So can you imagine the panic in Judas? Now mind you, Judas has already been paid. But he knows he's the one. He knows he is the one that's going to betray and turn over Jesus to be dealt with. But he did what we do. Surely, it's not me, Lord. It's not me. Jesus, I love Jesus' answer. He said, you have said so. Jesus wasn't accusatory. Jesus wasn't mad. Jesus already said his peace. It'd be better for this dude if he had never been born. Done. It's done. Jesus said, surely you have said so. And then we get into the crux of the meal. And in 26, while they were eating, Jesus took the bread. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. That gives a whole new meaning to communion. You know, I say I wouldn't have wanted to have been one of those disciples, but yeah, man, how cool would that have been? How, this guy's got experience of a lifetime. For however many years Jesus was on doing his mission there. They got to walk with him. They got to see him heal people. They got to see all this stuff. Most importantly, you know what they got? They got his undying love. Because it says he loved these men. Guys, he wasn't just talking about the disciples there. Because when Jesus was dying on that cross, you know who he thought about? You and I. I'm here to tell you, Jesus loves you. And that is pretty cool. Then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink from this fruit of the vine from now until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." So even though these guys betrayed him, or this guy betrayed him, even though Jesus knew, because we'll get into that here in a second, that one of the others was going to say, "No, I don't know Jesus," he still loved them. Still loved them. And he wanted to drink it new with them in his Father's kingdom. Guys, I can't wait till we get to heaven and we commune with our God. Do you know how sweet that's going to be? Let's go on here. Then it says, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And here, Jesus wasn't done with telling his disciples stuff. Let's go into it. Then Jesus told them, "This very night you will all fall away on account of me. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." Guys, I know I've talked about sheep before. I've talked about being a shepherd before, whatever. I can't imagine being a shepherd like these guys. I mean, I go to my barn to be a shepherd, right? These guys are out wandering the hills being a shepherd. So when a shepherd dies, what happens to the sheep? They go wherever. Owen, right? Your sheep do that, right? You go to the barn, what do? They're gone, right? These sheep are going to scatter. That's why the 2 years or 3 years or whatever it was so important to the disciples. Because then they have to bring the flock back. They have to endure, some of them, death to prove he was the good shepherd. That's pretty cool. "But after I have risen, I will go ahead of you into Galilee." Peter replied, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I will never." So Peter, you know, Peter's like, I don't know, my best impersonation of Peter, he's this big, tough, gruff dude that just, he isn't afraid of nothing, right? Peter, he'd rather fight you, right, than give up for what he believes in. Jesus says to him, "Truly I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me 3 times. And Peter does what you know, you would think Peter was. Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, Lord, I will never disown you." And all the other disciples said the same. Now, we all know the rest of that story. We all know Peter, he does. God's plan's perfect. Peter, because I'm sure Peter walked away from that thinking, man, I'm just going to go hide so I don't have to disown him, right? God kept putting people in his place. And before the rooster crowed, Peter said, nah, I don't know the dude. Three times. Not once. Three times. And then I think, you know, I'm not that far from Peter. There are times in my life when I try, and I know I'm not going to do the right thing, but I try to put myself out of that situation, but doggone it, still happens. You know what I do at that point? And I drop to my knees and I just weep. Because I know I'm not perfect. I know I don't deserve salvation. But I chose that gift. I know where I'm going. And guys, if you need more reading, I wanted to focus on the Last Supper and all the planning and preparation that went into it. And notice we didn't talk about, you know, they ate turkey or they ate lamb or they ate... This was a Passover meal. It was a... I don't know, I've read a couple different accounts this week. There was probably no meat. There was probably nothing super hot. It was probably a lot of carbs. Bread, dried stuff. Yeah. But you know, that's why those guys were 6 foot. In my envision of disciples, 6'2", 165. Right? Skinny dudes. They don't look like this because they don't eat all the turkey and beef and pork. So that supper... As they were reclining, I would have loved to have seen that picture. And I know we see pictures of it. We don't have one in here. But we've all seen pictures of the Last Supper. We've all seen pictures of the upper room, whatever. I don't believe there was probably a big table sat. I believe they were sat around, next to each other. Probably, I don't know this, but they were probably just on big pillows, if nothing else. And I think when Jesus went back and said, hey, boys, this is what's going to happen. Imagine they all stood up. It won't be me, Jesus. It won't be me. So as we count our blessings, I want you to be thankful for the fact that our God had this plan. Because these two guys that went to look for the place to have it, they would have had no idea. It's not like Jesus gave them an address, put it in Google, right? Hey, Peter, turn right, or John, turn left. No. It was, go find the guy that's carrying the water jug. Our rules are very similar. God does not give us more than we can handle. And if we trust Him, the plan's already there. I don't think it was an accident, the conversations I had this week. I don't think it was an accident, the stuff that went on early in the week at work. God knew where I needed to be. Okay? And God knows where you need to be. And God knows where He can use you the most. And His plan is perfect. And we're not going to do anything to change His plan. We need to accept His gift and let Him have it. You know, our problems, let Him have them. That's part of that gift of salvation He's handing us. Let me have your problem. I give you this gift of eternal life. You give me your crud. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the God we serve. He can take nothing and do something great. And we'll get into the Christmas story, but think about why it was important Jesus to be born in a stable. Because God can take nothing and save a world. Jesus was born the most humble. Was anybody here born in a barn? I say that loosely, but I mean, my kids, sometimes I think they were the way they act. Yeah, Jamie lives in one. Jamie's about as close as we got. She got a bull that climbs in her back sliding door, I think. Okay? I don't know if he does or not. But we were not, even though we may have been born humble beginnings, we were not born of the most humble beginning ever known to mankind. And look at what he did. I have no idea how many people have ever walked this earth and will ever walk this earth. It's billions, I'm sure, billions of people. Do you know that when he was hanging on that cross, he was thinking of billions of people and knowing he was saving each and every one if they took that gift of salvation? Guys, we have a lot to be thankful for. Chris and I talked about this week. Not even this week, it was last week. We are so lucky as Americans, as Morrow Countyans, as whatever. Not Ohio Stadians. That one hurt. But we are so lucky and we are so fortunate. And God just takes care of us. Even when we don't deserve it. Because most of us have kids here. I'm sure there's come a time in your life when you think, you know what, that kid's just going to be on his own. Or, I can't deal with it. And God does. You know, when God sees me being a doofus, you know what he sees? Pure, his son covering my sin. That is crazy to me. Because I'm a doofus a lot. But Jesus covered all of that. So when you take the communion, take the elements and take, I want you to understand it. It was God's plan for us to take it. As a reminder that every time we take it, his body and his blood was shed and broken to cover everything we're doing today. And it's a free gift he's given. And if you don't understand that free gift, we'd love to talk to you. Guys, it's free. There's no strings attached. You don't have to, I mean, all you got to do is accept it. Now, with that comes some other things that you should do. But you have to accept it. Once you accept it, you are covered because of that. And because of the grave being empty. The grave being empty means, hey, I want to live eternally with you. That's pretty cool. That's the God you serve. So if you have any problems, if you have prayer needs, if you have want to commit your life to Christ today, there is no better day than today. Because we are not guaranteed tomorrow. If you want to start your relationship, if you just have prayer concerns, if you have somebody else's prayer concerns, Les and Jesse and I will be here, and Matt's here. If we need to drag him down, we will. We won't have to drag him very far because he'll come running. But we're going to sing a song of invitation, and anything that's on your mind, anything that's on your heart, first challenge is just give it to him. Give it to him. You don't have to come up here to give that to your Lord. What you have to do is have a relationship with your Lord have taken that free gift. So we're going to sing a song. We'll be here. If you need anything, please come forward.